Fresh, you were in this series called The Walk of the Christian. We come to the next walk verse today, where we're just looking at these verses that contain that word walk in it, because they're telling us, giving us instruction on how we are to walk in the everydayness of our life as people who belong to Christ. So here's where we've been. Just very quickly, you see them walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Number two, walk in newness of life because we've been rescued from our slavery to sin. Number three, walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by the Spirit and thus not carry out the desire of the flesh. Walk in love. Walk as children of light because we've been rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of His light. Walk in wisdom. Walk wisely, in other words, because we're seeing and responding to life from God's point of view, God's perspective. And then last week, walk according to His commandments. And we noted in that verse in 2 John, actually we're given one of those commandments, which is to love one another. So that's very quickly is where we've been. Again, if you've missed any of those, you can go to the YouTube channel and watch that. So today we come to the next one. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn not to 2 John, but to 1 John chapter 2. And let me just read the section and then we'll call your attention to the particular verse. So 1 John chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1, we'll put it up here if you need it to look up here for it. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. So hear the word of the Lord. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. There's one of those so that's. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep or if we walk in His commandments, as we talked about last week, verse 4. The one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. Here's another test. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. And so verse 6 is the walk verse for today. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. And just to note it in a couple of other translations, the NIV puts it this way. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Or the New Living Translation, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. And the Amplified, whoever says he abides in Him ought as a personal debt to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. So this is a very simple walk verse, nothing really complicated to try to figure out what it's saying. It's simple to understand what it's saying. And so it's saying, if you're going to go around saying that you believe in Jesus or that you belong to Jesus, make sure you're actively pursuing walking like Jesus did. That's simple to understand. That makes common sense to us. Now, again, as I've mentioned in several of these walk verses, it's not saying that we're perfect in doing this. Yes, there's a process that goes on. There's growth that goes on. But if you're claiming it, salvation, then make sure you, by God's grace, are pursuing living according to the way the Bible tells us to live. And in this verse, it's the way Jesus lived. Don't claim it if you're not going to truly pursue it. But I want to call your attention to one particular word in this verse because it's very significant. It's the word ought. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. And this word ought, give you some definitions, it means this. To owe money, to be in debt, to be under obligation and bound by duty or necessity to do something, or thayer in his Greek word puts it this way. It's used of a necessity imposed either by law or duty or necessity by the nature of the matter under consideration, which applies to this verse. And so in this context, we could actually think about the word ought as a moral or even a spiritual obligation that we have toward Jesus because of all He has done to pay for our sins, to take our penalty upon Himself so that our sins could be forgiven. There's a, if we're going to believe in Him, when we come to believe in Him, then along alongside with that comes a moral, spiritual obligation to carry out his commands. And one of those commands is this one, to walk in the same manner as he did. In fact, this word ought is actually appears a couple other places in 1 John, chapter 3, verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought, moral obligation, to lay down our lives for the brethren. Christ laid down his life for us. As ones who belong to him, we have a moral obligation to lay down our lives for the brethren. Chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We have a moral obligation, spiritual obligation, to love one another because of the great love God extended to us. So this word ought just kind of reinforces the whole truth in this verse. If I'm going to bear his name, if I'm going to claim I belong to Jesus Christ, then I have a moral, spiritual obligation to live my life the way Jesus lived his. Simple to understand. Now, just to make sure we all are tracking together on a very important truth, and it's this. No one has ever come to faith in Christ by simply trying to follow Jesus' example. That is not the way you were saved. That is not the way you were redeemed. But once coming to faith in Christ, then now we are called and have this moral obligation to follow Jesus, who is our great example. And we have documentation in the Word of God of how he lived. And so we can look and see how Jesus lived. And so we follow him now. We seek to follow his example now because we are in Christ. That's not how you become a Christian. And sometimes in our day and time, it gets confused. Sometimes you hear people say, well, I'm just trying to follow Jesus' example. Well, there's some good things to that, but that's not how you come to salvation. So we are to walk in the same manner as he walked. Now, if you remember, three of our walk verses, the three that came out of Ephesians 5, we already, in essence, kind of saw this truth already. To walk in love, walk as children of light, and walk in wisdom. But if you remember in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 1 says, first of all these were flowing out of verse 1, which tells us to be, commands us actually, to be imitators of God. Remember the verse, therefore be imitators of God as his beloved children, or because you are his beloved children. But if you notice, you know, the word walk is not in that verse, so that's why we're looking at a specific walk verse that tells us to walk like Jesus did. And again, here was Jesus, flesh and blood, living among regular people. And we have the documentation from the Gospels and even some in Acts of how he walked. And so we can glean some things from that. So that brings us to the question really I want us to think about for the rest of our time this morning. And that's this question. Well, how did Jesus walk? How did he live his life? And if I open it up for discussion, you could come up with all kinds of answers. And so you're just going to have to be satisfied this morning with the ones that struck me. This is not meant to be an exhausted list by any stretch of the imagination. But here are some of the key ways, as I think about Jesus' life, that describe how he walked, how he lived his life. Number one, he walked in obedience to his Father. And just want to read you a couple of verses that display that for us. John 6:38. Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Here's another one from the lips of Jesus, John 8:29. "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Here's another one from the lips of Jesus, John 14. "I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me." And then, of course, we know Jesus' prayer in the garden, "Yet not what I will, but what your will is, Father." And so Jesus was one who practiced, who walked in obedience, who lived his life in obedience to the Father. In every way, he obeyed his Father in heaven. no matter how difficult it was, no matter how costly it was. No getting around that. He lived his life in obedience. So, why is it that today, even within Christian circles, why is it that today so often you hear obedience downplayed? Maybe you don't hear it the way I do, but I hear it frequently. It's just really downplayed, obedience to God. And so if ever that comes into your thinking, but more than that, if you're ever in a conversation with someone and that kind of thing's coming up, first of all, I would encourage you to take them to the life of Jesus and see these things that Jesus said about himself. And then maybe ask them this question. Why was obedience such an important truth in Jesus' life, Jesus who is the Son of God? Why was it such an important truth in how he lived his life, and yet you don't think it's supposed to be that big of a deal for you? Why? How do you come to that conclusion based on how Jesus lived his life? Because I just showed you, and you know already, that he lived his life in obedience to his Father. Not in a legalistic way. We're not talking about legalism here. What did he say in John 14? Why did he live this way? Because of his love for the Father. That's why he chose to obey him, out of his love for the Father. So, for us to walk in the same manner as Jesus did requires us to walk in obedience to our Heavenly Father. Number two, how did Jesus walk? He walked for God's glory. He lived his life so that his Father would be glorified. Now, can you go back a few years and remember our year verse from 2020? From John chapter 12, Jesus said, "My soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, take this away from me. Take this hour away from me." That would be the natural response. "But for this purpose I came to this hour." Therefore, his final line in the prayer was, "Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name." You know, I don't want to downplay anything you have gone through or maybe you are currently going through. But it's hard, and maybe as difficult, and maybe as painful as it is, it cannot compare to the pain and trouble that Jesus felt in his soul here just a couple of days before the crucifixion when he said those words. And then it was going to continue to build the rest of the week. Whatever thing you've gone through cannot compare to that, because no other being has ever experienced or could experience anything physically, mentally, emotionally, and most definitely spiritually to the depths that the Lord Jesus experienced on our behalf. So I point that out just to bring this to you. So as your sympathetic high priest, he fully understands pain in all its forms. He fully understands pain. He fully understands unfairness and being treated unjustly. He fully understands injustice. He fully understands being abandoned by those closest to you. He fully understands satanic attack. And thus you can go to him in the full assurance that he understands and knows exactly how to minister to you and sustain you through whatever it is that's touching your life. Here he was facing literally the greatest trial anyone could face. And his prayer was not to escape it, not to have it taken away from him, but his prayer was, "Father, would you be glorified in and through this costly, horrific thing that you are asking me to walk through? Father, glorify thy name. That was his chief and highest end in his life. I would say even above providing the salvation for us. His chief end was, first of all, that his Father would be glorified in and through his life. So, to walk in a manner as Jesus did requires desiring that God be glorified in our lives through whatever it is that is touching our lives, that we're experiencing, that we're walking through. Now, I realize what that could mean and how difficult to impossible of a call that is. And so let me remind you again, in this truth, this is also a process, a growth that God takes us in. God wouldn't save you and put you in a situation, something like Jesus, that kind of thing. So he grows us in this. But at the same time, we need to recognize, not kind of discount anything that you know, there's growth. But at the same time, we can't discount the fact that Jesus says, if you belong to me, you will walk in the same manner I walk. And I walked in a manner so that my desire was for God to be glorified in and through my life with whatever it was, even death on the cross. Number three, how did Jesus walk or live his life in dependence upon the Holy Spirit? I've shared with you four or so times through the years. I think the last time was back in 2019, that message that's entitled The Ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Life of Jesus. And where we saw Jesus, when he came to this earth, as Philippians talks about, he laid aside his divine rights, laid aside his divine prerogative, some translations puts it. He laid that aside, and as we saw in those messages, looking through the Gospels and Acts, what he did was he came and he didn't live exercising all his God attributes. Those were laid aside, put aside by his choice. But he came and lived in the enablement and the power of the Holy Spirit in and through him so that he could set an example for us on how we are to live this Christian life. And we noted that frequently as we walked through the Gospels, we walked through Acts, and we saw over and over and over again, it was the Spirit that was there that enabled him to do miracles. It was the Spirit that was giving him teaching. It was the Spirit that was leading him. It was the Spirit in his life. Again, so that we would have an example, because it'd be very easy for Christians to say, looking at Jesus, well, of course he could live that kind of life. He's the Son of God. But he put aside all those rights that were his as being God the Son and lived in dependence upon the Holy Spirit's enablement, of the Holy Spirit's wisdom, the Holy Spirit's leading, the Holy Spirit's ability in and through him. So that we would be able to see, this is how you live out the Christian life, the same way. I get my wisdom, I get my leading, I get my enablement from my dependence upon the Holy Spirit, the same way Jesus taught us to live. We live in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Maybe we'll resurrect that message not too far in the distant future. Number four, how did Jesus walk? How did he live his life? In compassion. Again, as you read the Gospels over and over again, you see this brought out. Jesus felt compassion for. Jesus had compassion for. And whenever you see that phrase, it always led to an action, did it not? Whether it was just an individual person or whether it was a group of people. But anytime it says Jesus was moved with compassion, it resulted in some kind of action, positive action, toward that person or group of people. We have that verse in the Old Testament that I've mentioned to you several times. It's found in 10 different places. Here's just one place from Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate. He's gracious, and the rest of those qualifications, but he's compassionate. Aren't you glad for Lamentations 3? The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases. His compassions are new every morning. We can't run them out. And then as followers of Christ in Colossians chapter 3, we're told to put on a heart of compassion. And then it lists several other kind of cousins to compassion, and you see them there. But we're told to put on a heart of compassion. So the point is, This is no minor quality. Same thing about kindness. This is no minor quality and characteristic of God in the Bible, and therefore it's to be a quality, a significant quality and characteristic in our lives. It runs all through the Bible. So Jesus was moved with compassion so often. And get this, why was he moved with compassion? Because he saw the person. He saw their need, their obvious need, yes. But he also saw the much deeper need represented, didn't he? He saw the person and their need. He saw the impact that sin had had in that person's life. And he was moved with compassion. So to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked means we are to be people of compassion. And may I say, to the person where compassion doesn't come as naturally as it does to other people, you're still not giving an out. So look at Colossians again. It doesn't say those of you with certain personality types put on compassion. It's addressed to every single believer. So if you're a Christ follower, last week, if you love God, follow His commandments. Here's one of the commandments. Put on. Put on doesn't, it's not talking about feelings. It's talking about a choice. It's talking about a practice. Put on heart of compassion, because that's the way Jesus walked. That's the way Jesus lived. Last one, number five. How did Jesus walk or live? By boldly declaring God's truth. And again, I could take you to passage after passage. You know them anyway, where Jesus boldly taught, boldly declared God's truth, even if it meant people didn't like it, even if it raised even more the hatred of the religious leaders against him, even if it raised their determination even more to dispose of him, even if his disciples didn't even understand what he was saying, and even if with one of his disciples one time actually rebuked him for what he was saying. When he started talking about the arrest, trial, and crucifixion, Peter rebuked him. And yet Jesus was someone who boldly spoke God's truth. Now, I need to give us a caution here. Some Christians, at least it seems, some Christians almost seem like they take a delight in speaking boldly and bluntly. They think of themselves, they identify themselves as someone who just speaks boldly and unafraid. I just speak what's on my mind. Now, we need people who will speak boldly. But if it's not done by the Spirit's leading and by the Spirit's prompting and by the Spirit's enabling, do you realize it's not pleasing to Jesus? No matter how truthful it may be, but if the Spirit's not leading you and prompting you to say it and you're not doing it in His enablement, it does not please Jesus. And you're not walking in a manner that Jesus walked, because Jesus always spoke through the Holy Spirit's leading. Let me show you some examples real quickly. John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50. Jesus speaking, he says, "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. And I speak just as the Father told me." Similar thing in John 14, verses 10 and 11. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works." So Jesus is saying, Jesus, the Son of God, did not speak on his own initiative. Therefore, I think it's pretty safe to say neither should we. So maybe it would be wise to be quiet for a few moments before you speak, and just ask the Lord, "Lord, is this something really you want me to say?" Because I can't tell you how many times when I've done that, he said, don't say it. Just because I feel it, even feel it strongly, this person needs to hear this or whatever, may not be the Lord want me to say it or the timing of the Lord wanting me to say it. Look at this verse from Acts chapter 1, very first verses in Acts. Luke writing, he says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. Now watch this phrase. After he, by the Holy Spirit, had given orders to the apostles. It didn't say Jesus said this because he was the Son of God. Here's one of those examples of he spoke in response to the Holy Spirit's lead. He gave orders to the disciples because of that's what the Holy Spirit was telling him to say. He wasn't speaking on his own initiative as God the Son. So again, yes, we need boldly speaking Christians, people who will speak the truth about the Gospels, people who will speak the truth about truth and error, falsehood and so forth, right and wrong, people who will speak the truth about God's judgment against unforgiven sinners, people who will speak the truth that Jesus is the only way to salvation, the only way to the Father and to heaven. We need people who will boldly declare that. But we need to do it, not because that's my personality type or anything else like that. We do it, we speak boldly because the Holy Spirit is leading us, prompting us, and enabling us then to speak for Him and not from our own initiative. That's the way Jesus spoke. That's the way Jesus lived. So we could keep going. You could come up with other ways that fit this question. But just to look at these five again, to walk like Jesus means to walk or live in obedience to the Father, to desire God to be glorified in our lives, in dependence upon the Holy Spirit, in compassion, and in boldness of speaking God's truth as the Spirit leads us. That's a big enough list as it is. You don't need to add more to it. That's quite a list. And in fact, you read that list and you think, start thinking through that and you realize that's an impossible thing. Even make a dent in that is impossible. So how do we do it? And I got an answer for us. Got an answer for us. It's number 3 walk verse we already looked at. Remember it? Walk by the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the desire of the flesh. If you don't remember what that is, go back and look those messages up. I can't preach it again this morning. Walk by the Spirit, or go into Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. That's how we are able to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. And again, just remember, walking as Jesus walked isn't talking about perfect performance, but rather an active pursuit that I want to walk this way out of love for what He has done for me. I want to walk this way, and I ask your Holy Spirit to enable me to do it. We love the Lord if we say we belong to Him. The command is for us to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. Let's pray. Father, another very, very important walk verse we have for us. Thank you for these quick pictures and reminders of how our Lord Jesus lived His life before us here as an example. And Lord, I didn't share anything really new. Maybe the newest thing on there would maybe be compassion. But they're truths we all know. But you were still growing in all of these. So wherever we are, Lord, continue to exercise your mercy and patience with us and your work in us so that we are actively pursuing, walking in the same way Jesus walked as we are dependent upon your Holy Spirit to enable us to do it. So Lord, this is our prayer this morning. And trust for you to continue working it in our lives so that our Father in heaven would be glorified in and through our lives. We pray in faith in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.